Welcome back, kings, queens, everything in betweens, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Warren, and I'll just kick it right over to my guest today. She's sitting right to my right. Jade, who are you on social media? Who is your internet persona? Because you're kind of a big deal.
You're not just Jade. Generous.
It's me, Jade V, of the Your Poor Dad Pod.
Yes.
And the connoisseur of a lot of different millennial tropes that we are all aware of, but no one really thought about until recently, probably.
Yes. Yeah. It's me, Jade V, on TikTok and Instagram. That's very generous to say that I'm a big deal, because I'm just still feel like I'm like this small little, like when people come up to me in public, I'm like, you follow my TikTok? Because I literally record things and I'm like, LOL, like no one's seeing this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you probably feel the same way.
I mean, like, yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like, I feel like I'm like, because I don't like show my face on camera a ton, where I feel like I'm like less recognized. But then there's like times where it's somebody that I knew from high school or something that reaches out like, oh, hey, like I saw you on TikTok. I'm like, oh, Jesus freaking Christ. Like, I try to keep it very separate. But it's very interesting, I think.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm a different person on the internet than I am in person.
I think you have to be. And I think a lot of people are. My favorite people that I meet are like, they are themselves on the internet, but then they're like better in real life too, because I've met some people where I'm like, you are so different than your online personality.
Yeah, no, totally. And yeah, and I think that's kind of how I found you. Was it was one of your viral videos about the butter noodle girl.
It's so hard to say.
on at the sleepover from back in the day. So like, you do a lot of like millennial tropes, kind of the, I don't want to say if it's like memes, but just if you think of like the starter packs, it's kind of like a verbal version of that. And you talked about, you know, did anybody remember like back in the day, you had sleepovers and then there was always the butter noodle girl, girl that, you know, they were serving some sort of dinner and she wouldn't eat anything and demanded butter noodles, and the parents had to go and make her spaghetti with only butter on it. And it was everybody was, you know, telling their own story of the butter noodle girl and how much they couldn't stand her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That
was my first viral video. And so I had kind of gone through this breakup and I was like lost. I literally was lost because I was like, I moved to Colorado for somebody. And then I was like, where the fuck am I going to move now? Because I like have been planning to move to Colorado. And so I just came to Austin. My sisters lived here. And then I just started posting on TikTok. And I posted that video. And like most of my videos were getting like not that much attention yet. And I remember like waking up and it had like a million views, and it was the first time a video hit a million views for me. And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Then I went to the comments and I was like, oh, this is my first taste of internet.
Oh my God. It's insane. Like I remember that time. I feel like I had like a little bit steadier. So it was kind of an escalation there. And I feel very grateful for that, because I could only imagine, you know, the million being the first kind of experience with it. But yeah, that was also what I was going to say too, is I think I realized after following you that you were in Austin. I think I saw some stamps, you know, going out into Austin, like talking about your experiences out and about. And I thought that was really cool. And then I noticed, and I think it must have been like Instagram or something, where I recognized you in one of my friends' Instagram stories. Like, we have a mutual friend, shout out Jess. I don't know if it's McKemmy or McKemmy, but we went to college together. We've had some nights out and about here. She's great. And then, of course, you're also friends with Eve. I love Eve. Everyone download the Arrow app. But I know you're friends with her as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually met Eve on TikTok, which is like so funny. Like, that was like my first foray into like internet friends.
Yeah.
And are you from California?
Yeah, like the Santa Barbara area.
Oh, nice. Yeah. California girlies. Yeah, that's so funny that you know them.
Yeah. Eve was also, met through TikTok. Love Eve. Yeah, like a lot of, I think, good takes. I wish people would be nicer. People need to be nicer to Eve on the internet.
Yeah. The internet is a hard place, though. Like, you need a lot, like, thick skin. And it's like, I can see sometimes she's like sensitive about things, and I'm like, you just have to like put blinders on and keep going. But like, cause I mean, the butter noodle girl video, that one was crazy, because we were just talking off air or whatever about how we have ADHD, And I didn't realize, but like I got fully like attacked by the neurodivergent community.
It's insane. They can't be left out of anything.
Oh my God. I was like, okay, I see you guys. Mm-hmm. I had no idea buttered noodles was like a safe food for you. I'm literally not talking about you clearly. Mm-hmm. Why would I be going after people who like need a safe food for sleepovers? I'm talking about the annoying girl at the sleepover who like, it always mm-hmm. has to order something different. She's like the picky eater, and it's like nothing deeper than that.
Yeah, no, I literally, because I say like, oh, like going on dates is dating, not a talking stage, whatever. And I've been told that, what's it called? That I'm ableist because mute people can't talk. So I should not be like, you get those types of comments when any video gets that big.
And that was the first time on the internet too, where I realized like you cannot reason mm-hmm. with anyone because they were like, you are ableist against the neurodivergent community. And I was like, oh, well, I have ADHD, so I am one of you. And they're like, you have internalized ableism. And I was like, I have never heard of this. And this is when I'm going to step out of the chat because there's no winning here.
Yeah, I know. There's no winning. And I feel like, too, you're probably getting a lot of, you know, not so nice comments in the sense that Gen Z, like, really rides hard. Like, Gen Z, like, really likes us a lot or, like, is obsessed with millennials, I feel like.
Yeah. So
Gen Z, like, oh, my God, there's something else.
Well, I think it's, like, a mutual, like, I think we're just doing what the generations did before us. And it's, like, you know, we're talking about how different it was to grow up in our generation. And then Gen Z just like, for whatever reason, centralizes themselves in everything. And they have to like be the voice. And it's like, no, you're not going to do that to us. Mm-hmm. Because I had this series that was like things millennials grew up with that would send Gen Z into a coma. And it was nothing deeper than just like a trend. It was like things mm-hmm. that would send a colonial kid into a coma. And then I was talking about like MapQuest, mm-hmm. T9 texting, flip phones, and they were like, wow, you are sitting on your high horse thinking that I didn't have a flip phone. My family had it. My first phone was a flip phone. And I was like, okay, but that just means your family didn't get you an iPhone. Like there was only one option back then mm-hmm. and it was a flip phone for us.
They're on like, and then they think they invented everything. They'll go and find something and then they'll give it a new name. Like I like yoga pants being flared leggings all of a sudden.
Yeah.
No, those are yoga pants. They are not flared leggings.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny how like how old they are now. Like those, they're the same age that those trends were for us, you mm-hmm. know? So it's almost like that life cycle. Like I'm sure they're all like in their early 20s and that's when I was wearing yoga pants mm-hmm. and now they're just like, no, but they're flared leggings.
Did you see the, like it's a, like viral right now where it's a girl who has this like pair of sparkly shorts and she's like, they're vintage Charlotte Russ shorts.
Charlotte Russ, that literally
And I spent $20 on it and it's like, those would have been $7 in the discount bin.
I know. It's so funny that they don't know what Charlotte Russe. Is Charlotte Russe even around anymore?
I think malls are just dead and I've never seen a Charlotte Russe outside a mall.
I know. And the sad thing is like as a California girl, like I love a mall. Mm-hmm. Like I just love walking around a mall. But the malls here are not very good.
No, pass. I'm not going to the Domain.
Yeah. No, and the Barton Creek Mall, I'm like, this is scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to pivot back to your podcast. Poor Dad Pod. You're on a break right now, but what is kind of the overview of it? Something I thought was really cool as well is usually my sister is here with me co-hosting. You have a podcast with your sisters.
Yes.
So it's obviously a sister podcast. What kind of is the overview of it? Can you tell me about your sisters? Kind of who's the what sister
yeah.
in the family, if that makes sense.
So our podcast is called Your Poor Dad because we are a family of three girls. Mm-hmm. We have no brothers. And anytime we tell someone that, they say, oh, you're poor dad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have a sister, so you probably have heard that. It's like, oh, you're a poor dad. So I thought that would be a great name. And I like forced my sisters into doing it. Mm-hmm. And so the whole like vibe of our podcast is like sister chat because, you know, with your sisters, you can be like brutally honest in a way that you can't be with your friends. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like the premise of the podcast. We talk about like pop culture. We talk about like our dating lives. We talk about like our families. And then we have like a big component of our show is our listeners writing in. We call the listeners sisters. Mm-hmm. And so they'll tell us like the most like crazy things. And then we give them advice as if we were giving it to each other. Mm-hmm. But the thing about us is like we're all three so different. Mm-hmm. So we kind of give different perspectives. Like, I'm the oldest. I'm like the Courtney of the family.
Okay.
Are you the oldest or what's
your? Yes, I'm okay. the oldest, yeah.
So I feel like if you're the oldest, it like goes into two different ways. Like, you're either like the oldest, like the mom oldest, mm-hmm. or you're the oldest that like acts like the baby. And I'm like,
I would agree with that.
I'm the oldest that acts like a baby. So like, they're always like, you're delusional. My middle sister's always checking me. Mm-hmm. And then the youngest is like, she's a teacher. So she's very diplomatic. She doesn't like to, like, she usually is like the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like our three different vibes.
Nice. And if someone wanted to start watching Your Poor Dad Pod right now or listening, where would you recommend they start? Do you have a favorite episode? Is there a point where things get really, really good? Do you recommend starting from the beginning or?
Okay. So there's an episode and I think it's called Your Poor iPad. Mm-hmm. And it really is like the epitome of us as sisters. And it's the way a lot of people found us. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, we're talking about like how to catch a guy cheating. Mm-hmm. And it's like always the iPad. And my
it really is though.
It is. Yeah. Because guys are dumb. They like don't know to disconnect the watch or the iPad. And so my sister has had like the craziest things happen to her with dating. So that episode's like all about that.
Nice.
And it's a good one.
Nice. And then, yeah, how far in is that?
I think it's only like episode 10. So I would like start there and then, go from there.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. No, I'll have to. I haven't listened to that one.
That one's good.
But I'll have to. And then you're on a break right now. What is kind of the release cadence when it is back on?
We release every Monday, but it kind of, I want to go to Tuesdays because it's really hard to like edit all night Sunday and then like put it up. So it'll be like Monday or Tuesday whenever we decide.
Nice. Well, I look forward to that. And let me know when that.
It'll be like the end of April.
Nice. Awesome. We talked about obviously Butter Noodle Girl.
Yes.
And the kind of stereotype there. I have a question about another stereotypical millennial trope that we've all probably seen back in our heydays. What is your thoughts on Knee Brace Girl? If you know of Knee Brace Girl.
Okay, every school has a Knee Brace Girl.
Yep.
And as a former high school cheerleader, there was always a Knee Brace Girl on my team. And the Knee Brace Girl is just like, there's always like an ailment. Like, she's always like working the hardest, but like, oh, there's like this huge injury that just like prevents her from like, you know, competing in whatever.
Yeah. Is Butter Noodle Girl and Knee Brace Girl, is there like an overlap in that Venn diagram, or are they two different people?
I think that Butter Noodle Girl and Knee Brace Girl would not get along because I think like Knee Brace Girl is a fighter and I feel like she's like a hard worker. And I don't think Butter Noodle Girl likes to work hard. Mm. Butter Noodle Girl probably is like hypoglycemic. She always has to have like a pack of like, you know, like snacks on her. And I think Knee Brace Girl has like all brothers, and she's probably like the middle child of like all brothers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Specific.
Yeah. And then another one you talk about is the floor girl. There's three types of women as far as how they do their makeup. Mm-hmm. The floor, the bathroom, and then the vanity. Am I correct with that?
Oh yeah, that's
another
correct.
Big one.
Yeah. I've been all three different stages of my life.
Yeah. I'm a vanity right now, but it's more like my desk.
Uh-huh.
And with like a big shiny mirror that I carry around. But I was a floor mirror girly. I could never do it in the bathroom. I just couldn't.
Okay. Floor mirror girlies, that's like a sign of like you're about to have like a really fun night.
Yep.
And like you're probably drinking like whatever you could get your paws on, you know, like maybe your fam, like your mom or dad's, like you stole some like liquor from them. Mm-hmm. At least that's who I was when I was a floor makeup girly. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like right now I'm like a bathroom makeup girly. Like I'm standing and doing my makeup, which is like kind of like backbreaking work.
Yeah.
You know,
that is true. I feel like once I remodel my bathroom, then it'll be a different story.
Oh, and it's hard because you're like farther away from the mirror.
That's the big thing for me.
Yeah. And I used to be a vanity girl when I had like a vanity, but now like my new house, my house, I'm making it sound like I live in this nice new house. I'm like, my shitty new apartment that's very old does not have space for that. So
I'm sure it looks fantastic. I feel like it looks like you have a clean place in the background of all your
thanks.
Stereotypes. Okay. And we'll do, then we'll go to the mailbag after that. We've got some good mailbags. Okay. Stereotypes. Disney Channel kids versus Nickelodeon kids versus, and I think the wild card is Cartoon Network kids. And then I think there's also kind of those fringe ones where the kids had to watch PBS. Which one were you, and thoughts on each of those?
Okay. I was big Disney and Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. It's like we're talking about Nickelodeon with that new documentary coming out, but or that just came out. But I would say huge between those two, 33 and 36. Those were the two channels that Nickelodeon and Disney were on.
That sounds familiar. That sounds like what it was for me. It was like 37, 38 or something.
Yeah,
like
it was in the 30s. And I would say I'm like a sun. My sun sign is Disney, but then my moon sign is Nickelodeon.
Okay.
You know?
Didn't touch Cartoon Network?
I think Cartoon Network is for like maybe kids that like eat their own boogers.
Yep. Or like they drink Monsters and eat hot Cheetos. Like they got the Cheeto dust
100%. As a hot Cheeto girly, like I will, you know, I'm not a Cartoon Network girly. However, I could never be a Monster girly. It's giving Monster energy drinks. It's giving Monster energy drinks in middle school.
Yes. Or like the guy, the stereotypical Kyle where it's like punching the drywall. Kyle watched Cartoon Network.
And it's like you're... Parents are probably like you're either like the youngest child and like there's a huge age gap between you and your siblings. So you're kind of like your parents are like working and like you're just like left to your own devices and you're seeing like the weird shit that's on Cartoon Network.
Exactly. I could never get into it. Like Courage the Cowardly Dog. And then I never wanted to touch it.
Yeah. It's also kind of like more masculine, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or not masculine, but it's like more like male focused. Like it was like. Like Nickelodeon was weird, like Ren and Stimpy was weird, but I liked it. But like Cartoon Network, just like it was like the Venn diagram. There's like the other side of weirdness, and that was Cartoon Network.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, it was super weird.
But like, I loved Nickelodeon much.
Same. I was like a big SpongeBob, person.
I was like Rugrats, All Real Monsters, Rocket Power. Like
love Rocket.
I loved everything Nickelodeon did. But I also liked Disney.
They knew cartoons well. I think Disney knew live action a little better.
Yeah.
Lizzie McGuire, even Stevens.
Oh like, my God, Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah.
So good.
Chef's kiss.
It was so good. I actually also, because I'm 35, so I'm like, I also remember like the Mickey Mouse Club days with like Britney and Justin. And that was like those were the coolest kids in the world.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had like a cool thing going for.
Yeah.
That was. I remember when Britney like rose to fame. I was like in the first grade or something like that. It was a big deal.
Oh my God. It was everything.
Yes.
I love her.
She is amazing. I'm going to go ahead and start with our mailbag. We've got some fun ones. So that we can jump through. Okay. So this one, what is the line between a creative opening line and a bait and switch? This person says, this is not so much an ask for advice as much as it is a rant airing a grievance. I, female 26, received an Instagram DM slide from a man the other day, which went into the request folder, but I checked it. It said, hey, I found a credit card downtown. I think it belongs to you. It has your name on it. And then said my first and last name, hoping you see this as I'd like to return it to you. While I wasn't aware of any missing cards, I have a lot of credit cards, as well as work and spend a lot of time downtown. The city in his bio, he had a private profile, matched mine. So it was 100% plausible that he might have found something of mine. So I instantly responded, thanking him and asking for specifics. To my surprise, he responded, haha, so you'll be relieved to know you're not missing anything. Wanted to stand out and find any excuse to slide into the DMs of a pretty girl and see if you might be interested in drinks or dinner later this week. And she puts in parentheses, I realize my first and last name and city were in my bio. I also have a public profile, and him saying downtown was probably an educated guess. I didn't respond to this, though, because I accepted the request, I think he could see that he was left on read. A few hours later, I got a passive aggressive DM following up about how I could have at least acknowledged the effort and offered an explanation. I have no issue with fun openers, which is always better than just hey, but I feel like this crossed the line by using a ruse about something actually serious. It felt scammy. I can understand wanting to stand out, but messaging under false pretenses crosses a line. I also have been seeing somebody, have yet to hard launch, and wasn't open to the idea of meeting anyone new, and likely would have ignored this message. I get that's not what this guy would have wanted, but I feel like if you're sliding into someone's DMs, you owe them the ability to decline in a way that doesn't put them in an uncomfortable position. Do you have any thoughts on this? Is this actually cute and I'm just the crazy one? Is this some common pickup tactic I'm not aware of?
she is not the crazy one.
No, I agree.
Literally at all. There's two separate issues here. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's the bait and switch, and then it's his reaction.
Yeah.
The bait and switch, it's like, that's a weird way to get someone's attention. Mm-hmm. I'm like all for sliding into people's DMs, but I feel like there's an art to it, and I feel like you gotta like ease up to just asking someone out.
Yeah.
But then if you are putting yourself out there, you are like putting yourself at risk to get ghosted or to say someone to say no or whatever. And like him taking that offensively is psychotic.
Yeah. And I think like he kind of put the onus on, like, I feel like that kind of thing puts someone in a position where they sort of owe you.
Yeah.
I think like I think she's definitely right, where if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, like you're knocking on their door, like they didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
This isn't a dating app where you're both on there. Like, I feel like sometimes people try to bring like dating app rules to Instagram DM slides, and you kind of have to know that there's different rules there.
Yes.
So I think that's like an issue. And then, yeah, I think you kind of owe them the ability to, you know, like reject you in a way that's kind to them or doesn't put them on the spot. Like let her be able to see the message and ignore it.
Yeah. Like exactly like you said, she didn't ask for this. Mm-hmm. So for him to take such offense, it's like you created this issue and then you're mad that you didn't get the reaction you wanted. Like that's so weird.
Yeah.
If I would have seen that message, I would have been like, okay, like that's so rude to like give me like a pit and give me anxiety for a second. And then you're like, oh, just kidding. It's like, oh, is this your dog? I found it running around the street. And then it's like, and then, oh, just kidding. Like, but do you want to go out on a date?
Like, no. Like you can't really do it. Like, I get there's like the pickup line or like the, because I think there's like a cute version of a pickup line that kind of is jokey, where it's like, oh no, you dropped this. Like, uh-oh, like something kind of funny, but that's serious. Like, I think I found your credit card. It has your name on it. Is like, that scares people.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that would already turn me off the bait and switch. And then him getting offended that I didn't respond, I would be like, if you just proved my point of like why I didn't respond.
Yeah.
Because you seem like a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I don't want to discourage any guys from like reaching out to girls, because I do think that like men need to be like pursuing girls more.
Oh, totally. So if you were to tell someone, give someone advice, DM slide 101, what is the perfect DM slide?
I think responding to a story is a good like intro, and like just creating conversation, like, but keep it like nice, light, friendly, like because women, at least I think it's hard because we don't trust men a lot because men have lost that privilege a lot of the time because they can be scummy and like unsafe. So it's like just showing that you're like not a threat and like approaching it from a friend point of view. So like if she posts something, like don't be creepy and be like, oh my God, you're gorgeous, you're this, you're that. Just be like, oh my God, I love that restaurant, like whatever. And then strike up a conversation and say, hey, I think you're really like, you seem really cool. Do you want to go out? Like, a bit normal.
Yeah. I think that's good. Like kind of, but you shouldn't like fire emoji until you wear them down or anything.
I think fire emoji gives fuckboy energy.
Yeah.
And I think like if that's what you want and if that's like what you are, if that's the kind of guy you are and you're like going to do that, just like know like that's kind of the vibes you're putting out. But if you're like a genuine person who wants like a relationship, I don't think fire emojis are the best. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just trying to think like I wouldn't really like, I guess it's flattering when you get a fire emoji, but it's like then that's that, you know.
Yeah. How do the rules change if there's a mutual connection of sorts, or this is someone maybe you met in passing at a party so they know of you, or they see that there's a bunch of mutual friends versus someone that maybe you spotted on the Explore page that you don't know at all?
Okay, that's like a whole different story. And I feel like that's like you're in a good spot because then you have so much you can like pull from. You could say, oh, hey, like so-and-so was saying you're like a you like this, like I like that too, maybe we should do that sometime. And then I feel like that automatically kind of breaks like that barrier of being a stranger, and then I would go to that person and, you know, like talk to that person and be like, hey, should I do this or not? If you see someone in passing, I think that's another thing, like, oh my gosh, saw you at the bar or whatever, I was a little busy, I wanted to come say hi, but like we were leaving. We should meet up sometime.
Yeah.
I think that's like way easier. I'm like all for that.
Nice. Okay. I totally agree. And then does your profile have to be public if you want to go about doing this?
See, like, as like an attention whore, I don't even know what it's like to live a private life on the internet. But I don't know. Like, if you're a guy, though, like, I would have a public profile.
Yeah.
And have like 9 just like decent pictures. Like, mm-hmm. have one with like, you know, a family member golfing, a thirst trap, you know, just like kind of like a nice mix.
Yeah. I feel like unless they know you already, they should have as much information about you as you have about them. Because if this is someone you don't know, you probably have a public profile that led them to follow you. Like, no one's following off the icon. And if you're going to DM someone, like, they can't just work off like a little picture.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to have to request to follow you when you can just see me. It feels like very vulnerable.
Yeah. It's one of those you put the onus on someone else when you're knocking on their door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Instagram DM slides. Okay. How do you feel about using LinkedIn for dating?
Okay. I've heard about people using LinkedIn for dating. And personally, for me, as someone who hates LinkedIn, because it's just like scary, like I just see, you know, it feels like so professional. Mm-hmm. I don't personally know how much I would love that. But I think it's like a good idea if like you are like a corporate baddie, you know, like if you like respect their profession. I'm coming at it from like the guy's perspective, I guess.
Like, I could see that with all like the noise out there about like, oh, men don't care about your career and stuff. Like, I could see with a compliment. Like, I also, like, maybe to me, it just feels like the bait and switch. Like, it feels like there's a bait and switch already. Like, if you connect and you kind of lead with like, hey, it's great to connect with you on LinkedIn. Like, are people going to disguise, you know, trying to like, especially like, at a time where a lot of people are like getting laid off and all that, are people disguising like flirt attempts like, connection?
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. Because if you're like on the job hunt and you get a LinkedIn notification and you're like, this guy, like whatever. Also, it kind of feels like they're maybe like walking into your place of business and standing there when you're like, wait, this is like not the dating area. This is the like professional area.
Yeah. No, like I would say the same kind of same goes like for that as well.
Yeah. There's some people who are like, you know, really into like founder culture. They're like founders, hustle, grind. Like, if you're looking for that kind of person, maybe they would like that.
Yeah. Okay. So with that in mind, like if we're talking about like hustle, grind people, and then just a lot of like cities have networking events, or there's like, it's sort of like half social, half professional type organization.
Yeah.
So if you think of like young professional organizations, things like that, where like the line seems blurred between, is this networking? Is this socializing?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on like, how would you go about like approaching someone there? I mean, like, obviously people go there, there's alcohol. Sometimes these people, because it's, you know, everyone says don't shit where you eat regarding coworkers. Yeah. These people aren't necessarily your coworkers. What is your rule of thumb if someone were to go to one of these events, find someone attractive? How do you send the message that like, this is to flirt, this is not a, you know, let's exchange business cards and talk shop conversation?
So for me in that area, like, I would have to be pretty sure that I'm really like that person for me to like accept that kind of invite. Mm-hmm. I'm like a true don't shit where you eat person, because I'm like, you know, 35, I've like learned my lesson in those areas. So I think, oh god, I don't know, like, I think if you're, there's a way where you just like keep it super professional in like learning, getting to know each other as friends first, like without leading with like, oh, we got drunk, let's hook up kind of vibes, you know?
Yeah. What's okay, so like, I've always been like, how do you start with friends first? Like, how do you go from like friends first with the intention for it to be something else? Like, what's the way to do that in a way that you don't, you know, get your hopes up and let yourself down, or making someone feel like they, I don't know, they felt bamboozled or bait and switched, I guess would be like another one for that.
I think like the thing for me is I would start like friendly banter in like either DMs or text messages. Like, if you guys exchange numbers and you like text or whatever, and then you could ask to like co-work together and kind of just feel out the vibe and see like, okay, is this person worth crossing the line with? Because if you're in a networking event, you're probably like doing a bunch of things together and you probably have a lot of mutual connections. And I just like, I mean, as a woman too, I feel like I want to be taken seriously, and like, I think it's easy to like not be taken seriously. And I don't know if that's like a chip on my shoulder or, you know, whatever. So I'd just be like careful and like make sure, like get to know them first. And then if the vibes, if you're like feeling the chemistry and it's like you can't like keep away from each other, then I would like let it happen.
Yeah. And I think that's another way to look at it too, is it's changing, not just not changing what you do, but changing your perspective. Like you want to know if it's worth it to, you know, cross that line.
Yeah.
It's not so much like, oh, like, is she going to like me or is he going to like me? Like, what is this to them? It's, I want to know with certainty that this is the person I think they are.
Yeah.
I hope that they are before I cross any lines.
Yeah. And I also like love now that girls are starting to like reframe their brain and ask themselves like, do I actually like this person versus like, do they like me?
I agree so much.
And it, because like I was that girl forever where I was like, I just naturally am a people pleaser, mm-hmm. and I just wanted everyone to always like me. So I brought that into my dating life. And like once I kind of just like took, I always had to like check myself after every date. Like, mm-hmm. do I actually like this person? Because I'd be like, are they going to ask me out again? It's like, wait, do I actually like want them to ask me out again?
You know? Exactly. Like it's so much like you realize like maybe you didn't actually want it, and it's just the whole like, do they like me? And you don't even ask yourself.
Yeah.
Like what's, or just being turned off instead of, you know, feeling like, oh, like, you know, why don't they like me or why aren't they responding?
Yeah.
But thinking of it more like, you know, okay, this person, they keep dodging, it takes them forever to respond, or they're being short. Like, this is annoying and I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. And if like somebody's being like super apathetic about you, where it's like, oh, like, yeah, we can hang out again sometime. And then they like will hit you up on like a Friday. And it's like, mm-hmm. I like, that's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like reframing that to be annoying versus like, oh my God, he like texted me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and I kind of wanted to jump into, and this like pivots off of the LinkedIn thing from another listener related to career and dating adjacent. So I think this will be a fun one. Okay. Dating while having a career with high volume of travel. My career involves heavy travel, 75%, mostly trade shows or other industry events. Because of the travel, it's tough for me to date in my city. I don't see this being a forever thing, but right now it's too difficult to do so without things fizzling out or dates losing interest. However, while on the road for work, I often find myself in settings where I'm meeting many attractive people, representing their own company at shows. I'd assume they have a similar work schedule and might be in a similar situation when it comes to dating. Especially since I'm in a tight-knit industry, there's a strong likelihood of me running into people again. It honestly seems like this might be a better pool to date in rather than just my city. The problem is, with events technically being work for everyone, most attempts I've made to approach women are interpreted as networking or business-related rather than to hang out. Shows and events are during the day but end at 5. Most have free evenings and we all tend to stay in the same hotels. I typically will ask them what they're doing after the show and say I plan to head to the hotel bar, give my business card or phone number. When women have shown, they either come prepared to talk business related topics or as a quick stop to go somewhere else, or they bring colleagues and see it as a gathering. I'm wondering if there's a better way to go about this in a way where my intentions are more clear but also still appropriate and not off-putting in a work setting. I feel like if it were anywhere else, these approaches wouldn't be confused for something other than a date. I choose drinks in the evening. I think my tone is flirty, but I don't overdo it. I don't wear a wedding ring or anything. And I don't think I appear taken, and also don't approach women wearing rings and back away if I get signs she's not single. I also want to add that while this is work, these are not women who work for my company. They are typically managing the booth for their own company. They appear to be doing the same job I am doing, just for another organization. So they aren't coworkers. I don't want to shit where I eat. What can I do differently, or is this just a bad idea altogether?
Okay. I think that if you are, first of all, I think they're, it sounds like they are being direct. Mm-hmm. However, there is, I think guys sometimes don't like, oh, hey, like I'm going to be at the hotel bar if you want to stop by and have a drink, is so different than, hey, would you like to get a drink later?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like that is so, I hate the way people ask, or like guys ask women out sometimes, where it's like, if you're down, I'm going to be doing this. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. So you're doing that. And like, I'm just going to like hop on this plan that you're already doing. So I think first things first, like, would you like to get a drink with me later? That sends the signal of I'm interested in you. And then that person can turn you down if like they don't want to, or they can take you up on it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge first step. Mm-hmm. But also like shitting where you eat is like such a thing that I'm like, I don't know. Like it's hard at, not to be like a woman or whatever, but it is hard. Like you want to be taken seriously. And like that when you cross a line, sometimes like you lose, people can lose respect. So that's, I would also put, tell him that if women aren't taking you up on that, like they have probably have a reason.
Yeah.
They're either not interested or they don't want to do that in their career.
Yeah. And I also think everyone has their own definition of shit where you eat. Just yeah. because to you, it's, you know, they're not coworkers, doesn't mean to them, like, you know, the industry is tight knit. Like people talk. Maybe they want to have the door open for if a job opened at your company or like, you know, they yeah. want to, you know, be able to use that professional connection in the future.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people love like making their work like their dating life.
I don't. Yeah. I don't like how he worded that.
Yeah.
Like, this could be my dating pool. It's one thing to say like, you know, sometimes there's attractive women here. And I think like, you know, if something comes up, like ask mm-hmm. them out. But when it's like, this is my new dating pool, since I can't date in my city, is kind of a not the right attitude.
Yeah. And I think like if you are gone a lot, like, and you can make a lot of effort in dating in your city too. Mm-hmm. Like your dating pool doesn't have to only be, it's not like A or B, it could be both.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about effort and like what you do. Like my boyfriend now travels so much for work, but he like made a huge emphasis on spending time together. And like it made me really respect his time. Mm-hmm. And it made, I think, our relationship like deeper, because it's like, oh, like this person like is taking time for me. Yeah. I'm not just like there.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys like work things out with him traveling so much? Like how did he set that expectation at the beginning and make it clear he was interested, versus, because I feel like I've, like when I was single and on apps, like I would date the guy who you know, always traveled for work. And I do feel like just by default it felt like it, you know, things would fizzle out because it yeah. was like, oh, I'm not going to be back for another 2 weeks. And it would kind of, I don't know, a lot can happen in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How did you guys like set those expectations up front, keep interest?
Okay, so first of all, he always showed me that he respected my time just in general, because he would like make a date at the beginning of the week, like, mm-hmm. or the week before. Mm-hmm. So he was always like taking his schedule into account and then like making sure I was free too. Mm-hmm. It was almost like scheduling like a work call, you know, mm-hmm. which sounds like so, but it was like much more like, you know, mm-hmm. less professional, I guess, than that. Another thing he would do is like, he would tell me his like work, his travel plan. So like, it, let's say he had like a big trip coming up, like a week long trip, then he would be like, I'm gone this week, but like, what are you doing the next week? So it was always kind of like he was thinking ahead, and he was just like really respecting like both of our schedules. Mm-hmm. But I also think that he's kind of like a one-off human. Like I don't mm-hmm. think a lot of men think like that. And I think he also would like check in, and this is just like us getting to know each other. Like he would check in like once a week.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, this person like is still showing continued interest in like a very like, you know, healthy and appropriate way for like how much we know each other.
Yeah. And I think pictures are worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
Hey, look where I am. And I also think like sometimes these things can be self-fulfilling prophecies. Like if he's going and I travel so much for work and
yeah.
oh, like I'm not going to be back for another 2 weeks. Like I think if you frame it as, hey, like I'm going to be out of town, but I'll be back this day. How about we pencil something in? Obviously, that's a week and a half out. Like,
yeah.
you need to change something. But I think it's like how you present it.
That is so true, because my boyfriend never told me like I travel so much for work, mm-hmm. or like, and I was traveling a lot at that time too. But we didn't like put that emphasis on it. But we mm-hmm. did like, yeah, that exact thing. Like I just think it's like people make efforts, and I think like guys, like you need to make an effort for. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, the older I get, the more like traditional I'm getting. I'm like, mm-hmm. men need to make more effort for women. Like, I think it's nice when like mm-hmm. to be pursued a little bit.
Yeah. And it's free too. Like, I feel like every time those, like the discourse on TikTok of dating, where it's just for some reason, like these weird gender debates are like the somehow dating content where it's just people screaming at each other of yeah. who has it harder or who's meaner to the other.
Yeah.
And it's like, I do think when it comes to like, hey, like I would like a guy who makes effort, like it always gets, I don't know,
it gets spun.
It's like, oh my gosh, you just want someone that's going to spend a bunch of money. It's like, just being thoughtful is free. Opening doors is free.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like following up, like exactly what you said, you know, penciling in a date, like mm-hmm. after you get back, and then following up like, hey, I'm mm-hmm. excited to see you. Like, does that time still work? Like, that is free and that is effort. Mm-hmm. And I think like, to get respect, you have to give respect. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, not that all of that is on the man, but I think a lot of the times we're so used to being disrespected that just, mm-hmm. like, a little respect goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And I think it, like, makes us, like, give it back more.
Yeah. Or just something that shows you're safe, I think.
Yeah,
sometimes it's like you're a little on edge and it's not your fault. It's, you know, what, Ted Bundy's fault.
Yeah.
It's all those types of guys.
It's like the three, like, past traumas in her life. Like, those are, like, the past, like, you know, ex-boyfriends. That's their fault. But, like,
exactly.
You kind of have to make up for it.
Yeah, and that happens. Yeah, and then for this guy as well, yeah, I think, I'm trying to just go back of, like, what were, like, all the little points in there. I don't think it's a bad idea altogether, unless, but I do think he needs to, like, reframe how he thinks.
Yeah.
Like, I think, don't say, like, this is my dating pool now. Like, don't think of yourself as in a pool. Like, you know, have your eyes open, but don't, like, walk in there like, this is my dating pool. Like, that's just, I feel like those, you sometimes you meet people like that and it's just, it's weird. And you can smell it, like, a mile away. It feels desperate. I don't know.
Yeah. It almost seems like he's going into every event and, like, mm-hmm. trade show, like, looking for a girlfriend or like a girl to, like, go out. But, and also, like, he needs to remember that, like, girls probably think that because he travels a lot, like, he probably does that with a bunch of women. Mm-hmm. And so nobody's going to want to, like, I wouldn't want to take that seriously because I'd be like, you probably do this every week.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'll come off that way for sure. Cause
yeah.
There's always, like, the stereotypes about, like, conferences and stuff. I also think he maybe needs to, like, to chill out in the sense that, like, I think if you're asking someone on a date, like, if you just frame it as, like, I'll be here at this time, swing by and meet me, like, yeah, it's not going to be taken seriously, like, as a date. But if this is someone you're just, like, meeting in passing during the day, you met them that day, you think they seem cute, they're at the booth next to you, like, why not just, you know, hey, I'll be at the bar, and she brings her three coworkers, why not just, like, chat it up with her and just see how the night goes versus, like, this was supposed to be a date.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, reframing your brain on that too. Like, mm-hmm. if she came with her friends or her coworkers mm-hmm. or whatever, then, like, and it you didn't catch a vibe there, then mm-hmm. like, also, like, she's just not interested.
Yeah.
So.
Like, yeah, so I think that would be, if she comes with her coworkers, that's a good thing, and then that way you can get a feel for her. It's like changing the perspective, like we said
about
it's not so much do they like me, but you get to see her not standing in front of her booth. Maybe she went up and changed. Maybe you get to, like, learn actually about her in a setting that's not just, like, in an expo hall or something.
Yeah, and then get her number and then follow up, say, hey, it was great hanging out. I would love to see you again, and then mm-hmm. see what happens from there.
Yeah. I like that take.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to think. Yeah, we go. Anything you want to tease about coming up on your poor dad pod? Anything coming up in the world of It's Me, Jade B?
So we will be relaunching Your Poor Dad. We're gonna we just want to kind of, like, have some new graphics and mm-hmm. stuff, and, like, I was getting, like, a little burnt out, and so we're gonna be relaunching, and I want to add more videos into mm-hmm. the mix, so that will be coming up soon too. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited. I'm always on TikTok, just, you know, saying whatever comes into my brain and, like, offending, you know, tons of people.
Who else has been offended as of late?
It's mainly still Gen Z. Like, to this day, those videos are, like, a year old, and I still get 10 comments a day. Mm-hmm. I did this one video that's, like, like, things that millennials grew up with that would send Gen Z into a coma, magazines. Mm-hmm. And that one's got, like, a second life. And they're
just like, we've seen magazines, they're like, before.
Does this girl think she's, like, is she serious? Like, we have magazines. I see magazines all the time. And I'm like, I know. It is a serious, like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, if you are finding this offensive, you truly need to go outside mm-hmm. and, like,
touch the grass.
Literally touch the grass, lick the concrete, become one with the earth. Because, like, I am not, like, it's a funny thing. It's mm-hmm. just, like, magazines were everything to us, though.
Yeah, like, that's how you would, like, buy your, like, athlete uniform or your sports uniform.
Yeah.
You'd have to sell, like, 20 magazines to all your neighbors.
Catalogs, magazines. That's how we learned how to do our makeup. Mm-hmm. That's how we learned how to, like, kiss the opposite sex or, like, mm-hmm. the same sex. I don't know. But
Cosmo's advice, their sex and dating advice is always so cringy.
Yeah, like, how to, like, flirt with your crush. And it's just, like, that's how we learned everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was obviously, like, kind of doing a little bit of a rage bait with the magazine one because mm-hmm. I'm like, magazines are, like, not just specific mm-hmm. to millennials. But it was a special time for us. Mm-hmm. But that was like a big one. That one's like been like the comments are just like coming back. I'm like, oh my God, like a year later.
They're insane. Oh, another question. Why do you think Gen Z looks so old?
I think because they're wearing way too much makeup. Mm-hmm. And I think that also filler is mm-hmm. a big thing. And I'm like dying to get filler. Like I just wake up every day and I'm like, I want to be on Ozempic and I want tons of filler, but I'm like holding off for, mm-hmm. you know, a while. But I think that they just having like selfies so easily accessible to you mm-hmm. and like the comparison of like seeing all your friends and like how there's like Facetune now. Mm-hmm. Like people truly get stuff done to look good on camera. Mm-hmm. And that just like wasn't a thing when we were.
No, not at all. Like yeah. I remember I thought like probably until like my mid 20s, I always thought Botox was like a mom thing.
Yeah.
Like I remember, I think when I was like 26 or something and I had like forehead lines, like even without like I had like very aggressive forehead lines. And I think uh-huh. it was one of those where I was like, oh, maybe I'll go and try this. But I remember for the longest time I was like, this is a mom thing.
Yeah.
And I decided on it just because like I came to Austin, I knew someone else who did it, but I feel like it's something where young, like really young people are like, yeah, I need Botox.
Yeah, when yeah. people are like, I started getting Botox at 23, I'm like, you don't need Botox at 23 though. Mm-hmm. Like I started getting Botox when I was 29 mm-hmm. and it worked just as good. Like I didn't need the mm-hmm. Botox then. But I do think that there is an obsession with like filler and stuff, and I just like I think it's starting to shift the other way mm-hmm. especially because like I see people make videos and they're like, oh my gosh, thin brows. I'm like, oh my God, like thin brows were in, thin mm-hmm. lips were in. Like the beauty standards are going to start to shift.
I hate like low rise jeans becoming a thing again. My I would God. Rather.
I bought a low rise skirt from Brandy Melville, which like, I don't know. I had no business being in Brandy Melville. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. Like, I'm just going to like, this will look good on me. This one low rise thing will look good. And I got home. And it was horrifying. I was like, why? I still have the same problems I had back then, but it was just like bigger, amplified now.
Yeah, I feel like the fashion, it's either like very like tight and like tiny, or it's like big and baggy.
Yeah.
I'm also just like, why does everything either have to be a half top or a like what's it, a bodysuit? Like I'm like, yeah. I don't like my shirts close to my crotch. Like just let them be like longer.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be like one thing or the other? I hate that.
I know. It's and like I also see them bringing back like the bedazzled belts, and I mm-hmm. you remember like those
oh, you wear like, it like over your stuff.
Yeah, and like the True Religion, like big mm-hmm. stitch, like really like gaudy jeans are coming mm-hmm. back, I think, and like it's just that was never my style back then, and it's mm-hmm. just like not my style now, and I'm just like, ugh.
No, yeah, not for me.
I know, but you know they'll look back. Like I look back at my pictures of me in college, and I was horrifyingly mm-hmm. ugly. Like I just like orange skin, yellow hair.
Yeah.
Like the ugliest clothes you've ever seen in your life.
What's it like the Dream Matte? Did you use the Dream Matte Mousse ever for your foundation?
Okay, my thing was MAC mm-hmm. and it was like vibe, but it was like because Dream Matte came out like a little after, I think, mm-hmm. but it was like just like caked on MAC, but yeah. it came in like a pot and it was like cream, and it was just I'd put it on yeah. with a sponge and it was
yeah thick. MAC was pretty like cakey, but it was like the nice cakey, like Dream Matte yeah. which is like the drugstore.
Yeah. And it was like, gosh, I would like steal my mom's makeup and like take it back to school with me, and she'd be like, what the fuck. Like if my kid did that, I'd be like so annoyed with them, like where's my like makeup,
you yeah. take it. Yeah, yeah, no, like I don't know, like Gen Z, they just look so freaking old with
the I know makeup. I think they also like contour a lot. We didn't have contour. No. But like the thing about us is like we look better now.
That's the thing though. It's like why, like what happened, is that like what happened there that makes us, is it just them looking older, like, or do we look younger?
I think we looked like we looked like shit. We had yeah. no eyebrows. Mm-hmm. We had very orange skin. Mm-hmm. We had like the eyeliner that was like black inside our eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And we just like didn't have, like we weren't wearing makeup to flatter our face. Mm-hmm. So once we learned how to flatter our face, I feel like we like kind of had a glow up.
Yeah.
We also had no skincare back then.
No, not at all.
None. Like I would sleep in my makeup every oh my God, time so I went out. Yeah, and now it's like, I could never, like I hate mm-hmm. the feel of it on my skin. Mm-hmm. So I think like we, all of that, like, and we also like are really concerned about wellness now, yeah. whereas like that was not a thing back then. Mm-hmm. So we like kind of like cleansed our our minds, our bodies, our souls.
Yeah.
And I think like they will age like normally. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, I think so too. I think Gen Z will send an optimistic message to them.
Yeah. I do actually like love Gen Z. Like I love the Gen Z. I just have triggered some of them.
Triggered some of them. Yeah. They're easily triggered, for better or worse.
I actually think a lot of the people who are triggered are Gen Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Or they're just in their house. Like, that has no generation.
Yeah. The cool Gen Z doesn't care.
No.
Because why would they care about me? I'm, like, old.
Exactly.
I'm like a loser on TikTok.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. Your poor dad's coming back soon. Yep. And then your TikTok. It's me, Jade B.
It's me, Jade B.
Same with Instagram?
Yep.
Everyone go follow Jade.
Yeah.
Any parting words before we wrap this up?
No, just, you know, quit DMing girls weird shit and don't be weird at company, you know, trade shows.
Yeah. I think that's great advice for all of us.
Yeah.
All the kings and the queens and everything in between that.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so fun having you on here. I can't wait for this episode to come out. You're a big deal. And so I'm excited to share this with you and with everybody. It's been fun.
Yes. Thank you.
And you're welcome on anytime. Thank you, everybody.